blessing.
I trust that you get things from the Word of God from your devotions. I trust that you have them on a daily basis. Can't say that enough. We know that we ought to eat on a daily basis so that we can be sustained and so that we can live our lives and have the strength and energy. The same thing is very true in our spiritual lives. We need the Word of God. We need to feed off of His Word every single day. It would behoove us to do it many times a day, just like we eat many times a day. And we need that strength. If you ever wonder why you are weak and lacking, it's because we're probably needing a refuel. And that is a refuel from the Word of God. Quickly, before we go into the message this morning, I just want to ask you, is there anything that you got in your devotions this week that was a blessing that you'd just like to quickly mention? We're not talking about a big, long thing that happened in your life. We're just talking about a thought from the Word of God this week, maybe that you came across that was just a blessing to you. Maybe it was a challenge to you. Maybe it was just something that you absolutely needed. For me, I'll give you just a moment to think. I was reading, and I'm in Judges, going through the different judges, and I was reading about Samson. And of course, Samson is kind of a tragic story, because we've got a person that God's hand was upon him, and yet he did so much for himself. But even in that, God used, and this is what I want you to see, this was encouraging to me, God is a God that uses everything for His honor and for His glory, even if it's not good. I was reading about how Samson asked his parents, this is early on in his time that is recorded in the Word of God. Remember, he asked his parents to go and get him a wife in Timnath. Okay, I was able to see that when we went over to Israel. In fact, it was our very first stop. We stopped there and we overlooked this valley, and the other side was this kind of a mountain that was there. And we got to see the birthplace of where Samson was born, and then you look off, you follow the mountain range over and then through a valley, and way off in the distance was this place of Timnath where he would have desired this woman to wife. And so it's just kind of neat to be able to picture that. But he asked his parents, I want you to give me this one. And of course his parents said, why would we go over there and do all this? But anyway, he goes over there and he still gets this wife. And then you remember the story, you know, in the wedding about the 30 friends or guests that are coming there, and the sheets and the one change of clothing for each one. And he gives them a riddle, okay? And all of that, but it doesn't matter all what happens with that, with what I'm telling you. What I saw in that is there was a verse in there that even though it wasn't seemingly a right process and the right thing about getting this wife, God used it because he was going to use Samson to overcome the Philistines. Why do I share that? Because God can use anything to turn things out for his honor and for his glory. And so that was, for me, that was just a blessing. God orchestrates everything. And I've just barely been focusing recently on every step of the way, God is doing something to bring us to himself. And that was an encouragement for me today. And so that's what I got this morning. I wonder if there's anybody else who just shares something briefly that God showed you, anything this week or recently from the Word of God. If not, we'll jump right into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But anybody want to share what God has shown you? Hopefully you're reading your Bibles. Yes, ma'am. God is with us everywhere. There's not a place that we go where he leaves us. Praise the Lord. Through anything. Yes, Nancy.
On Monday morning, I woke up to a whole article of yellow leaves. And so I'm thinking now, when am I going to get all these all cleaned up? And so patience comes right into the clothes right away. And so by Friday, all the leaves got cleaned up. And by Saturday morning, it's blowing and all the leaves are covering the lawn yard again. So that's my
certainly does, and he changes things up. And praise the Lord for them blowing away, but they blow right back, and that seems to be the case during this time of year. Anybody else want to share something that you have, God's given you from his word? God is good. He is a good God. That's encouraging. Thank you. Anybody else? Something quick comes to your mind. Yes. I've been thinking of that also. God is a great physician, and he, again, back with my thing, he orders all of that, and so we can be thankful for that the health that he does give. And I know some of you say, what health, you know, but we can be thankful for the health that God has given. There's always somebody in a more difficult situation than we are. Have you ever thought about that? There's always somebody that's worse off, not making light of anything that we're going through, but it's just the way it works. Anybody else, something that God has shown you this week in your time with him that you would like to share? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a wonderful place to go to. We have been learning a lot from this passage, and so I encourage you to go there. Thank you for sharing, and always be looking in the Word of God for things that, little nuggets of truth that will carry you through. It's very important that you feed off of the Word of God, and I want to encourage you, get in the Word of God daily, multiple times a day. It will be an encouragement to you, and I guarantee you will notice a difference, just like you would notice a difference by eating and feasting on more nutritious food. You would notice a difference, and I encourage you, get in the Word of God. It will make a very impacting difference in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, the message I was going to preach last Sunday, but God directed me away from that, and so we're going to try to capture the thought here this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. We are partway through this verse and almost done with a list of what love is or what charity is. It is an extremely important topic because it's kind of like a backbone. If you don't have a backbone, honestly, could we have life without a backbone? Not really. We wouldn't be able to do anything. The Christian life and ministry that God has given to us without charity is nothing. And we read that in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. Without charity, we are just, whether a noise, an action, a demonstration, and wonderful things that are listed in the first three verses. We can be amazing. We can be absolutely amazing in a number of ways in our Christian life. But God says if you're doing it without love, without charity, then it profiteth nothing. So all that we do is worth nothing without charity. And so it is extremely important that we understand what real charity is all about. And so I have been making a statement here that I don't know if I want to correct, but I want you to understand it. That I say that love is not necessarily when there are lovely people that we are loving. That's really not love. And I want to correct that. I say it is love. It's not 1 Corinthians 13 love. Okay? I don't know if you understand that. Again, there might be some lovely people in your home. And you say, Pastor, honestly, I don't have a hard time loving them. And I have made a point, you know, that's not necessarily real love. Well, it is real love. It's easy. It's just, it's easy love, right? It's easy to show those people kindness, and it's easy to do those things. But when we're talking about 1 Corinthians 13 love, this love that's painted here is, it's the unlovely. It's the difficult situations. It's the hard. And that's really where the core of this 1 Corinthians 13 love comes in, is I'm choosing to love anyway. So it's kind of like that tough, difficult love. And that's what we're learning here this season. It's been quite a season that we're going through, but let's continue on how we can love. And again, we need this so that we can please, so that we can live our lives and serve the Lord the way that God wants us to. And so it kind of completes things. We might be gifted with the way we can teach. We might be gifted with our knowledge. We might be gifted with our faith. We might be gifted with our sacrifice. But we need this love, and so we learn it. So this morning we are on the phrase, hopeth all things. Charity beareth all things, charity believeth all things, and then thirdly in verse 7, charity hopeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Love hopeth all things. What does that mean, that it hopeth all things? The word hope here kind of has a few key words. The word hope is to wait for expected salvation with joy and full confidence. Let me read that again, because that was kind of a mouthful. It wasn't very long, but let me read it again. Hope, biblical hope, is to wait for expected salvation with joy and full confidence. Really, there's probably four key words. You could even say five. What I just said, what are the key here? First of all, I would say waiting. You realize that hope has a lot to do with waiting. You think about hoping for something. It has an idea of something that's not here yet. And because it's not here yet, I've got to wait for it. Is waiting easy? It really isn't, especially if it's, you might say it's easy for certain things. You know, if you don't like the winter, then waiting isn't that hard to go, you know, through the whole year. But if you love the Christmas time, waiting can be tough, right? I can't wait to pull out the Christmas music again. I can't wait to do this or that, whatever, waiting. But waiting is an element to hope. There's a waiting time, and we'll talk about some of these things, but there's an element of waiting. But it's also for expected things. Do you know that hope has to do with an expectation? You're looking for it. You're expecting something to come. And so there's an expectation in the word hope. So to wait for expected salvation. Here we see some sort of a deliverance, some sort of a blessing that's going to come, something good that we're waiting for. It's expected. We're waiting. There's going to be deliverance with joy, and I'm not going to highlight joy here, but full confidence. You know, a biblical hope, a worldly hope, doesn't have much confidence, because it's just a hope so. I hope, but there's a percentage of chance that it might not happen. But with God, we understand that there's a confidence that it's more than an expectation. There's a confidence that God is going to do it. And that confidence is based on Him, and we're going to really focus on that this morning. I want us to go through a little bit of an outline here to understand what hope really is, based upon the part of the definition that I just gave you. And so if you're taking notes, I think we'll have about four or five things that I want to give you this morning. But here we see that hope, or charity, hope with all things. And understand that 1 Corinthians 13, when we talk about this charity, is in light of other people. I think there's a lot of, it's kind of a relational situation. It's not so much our situations that we go through in life. It's with people. So it's very much, charity is dealing with people. in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so in this case, we understand that our hope has to do with hoping for things in people's lives. It's not hoping for a raise at Christmas time this year. It's not hoping for a new vehicle. 1 Corinthians 13 hope has to do with hope in other people. My hope is that you would grow in Christ, or my hope is that you would get victory in this area. My hope is that you would go through this in joy. And so charity hopeth all things, and that focus is hoping in other people's lives. Okay, does that make sense to you? This hope has to do with our relationships with other people. Let me ask you this question. Before you really know what hope is, do you have hope in other people's lives? Wives, do you have hope in your husband? Don't nod. Okay. No, I lost hope in him. Husbands, do you have hope in your wives? Parents, do you have hope in and for your children? Children, do you have hope for your parents? Grandparents, do you have hope for your grandchildren? Do you have hope for your neighbors? Do you have hope for your coworkers? Where's the hope? Do you hope? Could you say, I'm hoping in a biblical way, I'm hoping, I am waiting, I'm expecting deliverance. I am confident. Now, if you think too much about that, you're going to come back at me and say, but Pastor, how can I hope in a person that is prone to fail? Isn't that true? Are we prone to fail? Honestly, there might be things that my children and my wife might be really hoping for husband and for their father, to do. I hope that my dad would grow in this, or I hope that he would do a better job at this, and yet it, within me, I am very prone to failure. I know that about you as well, because we're all prone to fail. So how can we truly have even this expectation and confidence that there's going to be deliverance with this individual? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Number one, I want you to see that hope is faithful in focus. Hope is faithful in focus. Who is the object of our hope? This is the first and foremost thing that we need to understand. Now, I just told you it's relational. So if I am hoping for something in your life, I'm very focused on you. But where is the focus that I ought to have, or you ought to have, in regard to that individual? I want you to see, first of all, that we need to recognize, this is all under hope is faithful and focus, some subpoints here. We need to recognize God's vision. Recognize God's vision. Biblical hope is directly connected to God. Biblical hope is directly connected to God, the person of Jesus Christ in particular. Take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 tells us something about our hope. Biblical hope is directly connected to God Himself, and very specifically the person of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And then he's going to make a statement here, which is Christ in you. And he calls it what? The hope of glory. Do you see how God does it? How is there hope in this individual? What's the phrase? Christ in you. Who is the hope? Christ. But can I tell you that it's Christ in you? God in the person of Jesus Christ, hope is not kind of complete, if I could say it, until it's inside of a person.
Hope is made manifest when he has an individual to show himself strong. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that God needs us. Can I tell you that God is a standalone God that doesn't need you and I? But his hope is seen. His love is seen. Don't forget what we're studying this year. It's the love of God seen, demonstrated in our lives. And that hope lies within Christ living himself in me. And Christ living himself in me is the hope of glory. My friend, hope has everything to do with people, but the hope inside of every one of you is who, if you're saved here this morning? It's the person of Jesus Christ. Who is your hope? It's the person of Jesus Christ. He is the hope. Folks, you've got to recognize God's vision. When you're dealing with people, you've got to recognize God's perspective. Now, this is a faulty illustration because some of the people that we witness don't have Christ inside of them. But have you ever been a people watcher, just to watch people go by and think through their past? Think through, how did they get to where they're at today? Have you ever done that? I have watched certain people, and especially people that you look today and you say, wow, they're trying to draw attention to themselves. You know what kind of people I'm talking about. You know, they do something to themselves to draw attention to themselves. And of course, that person has probably had some sort of difficulty in their life, and they don't feel like they have the attention, so they've got to do something to get your attention. And everybody's probably a little bit different. But you look at people and you say, and you wonder to yourself, how did that person get to be where they're at? How did they come to this? And you think through. For me, I go back, and sometimes I imagine that person as a little baby. You know, at one point in time, that person that might look scary to you or might look interesting to you, you know, at one point in time, there was just a little baby that some mother, you know, hopefully, you know, held in her arms. And you know, and there was a day when that little, you know, child, you know, went to school, and, you know, maybe, you know, those parents, you know, went to the school and waited for that little girl to come out of school. And there was, you know, they went through it, and everybody doesn't have that upbringing, but there's a story to tell about that individual that has brought them to where they're at. And it's influenced them, and they have got, you know, what you're looking at is because of a series of choices and maybe things, influences in their lives to kind of mold them and make them into who they are. And when we're looking at hope, and I understand, I told you the illustration breaks down because the people that you look at necessarily don't have Christ, but what I want you to see here is we need to realize, especially 1 Corinthians 13 is really talking about loving our brothers and sisters, okay? So focus on this crew right here now. There's a story behind every single person that's sitting here today. When we think about God's vision, we've got to understand what God is endeavoring to do with inside of that person. Now again, if you are here this morning and you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, who do you have inside of you? Christ in you. Of course, you've got the Holy Spirit, but you've got Christ in you, right? So Christ is living his life in you. You've got someone underneath that's trying to do a work to bring you to God. Inside of me, I've got Christ that is trying to move me closer and closer to the person of God, Christ in them. We tend to look at people on what's on the outside, what they look like, how they dress, maybe even what they say. Sometimes we try to look and see what's inside. We've got to be careful with that because we can't see what's inside always. We do understand that what's inside is probably going to make itself out, but we've got to be very careful with that. But we see what's on the outside, but what we can't see is a hope inside of Christ working to try to do something in that individual's life. As we learn what charity is this morning, and as we learn what hope is, we've got to get past the surface, and we've got to look inside at the person of who's inside this person trying to live them, to live himself, and that's the person of Christ. And I want to encourage you as we try to, as we demonstrate love, as I'm supposed to hope. You know, I'm supposed to hope in Roger. I'm supposed to hope that he does right. I'm supposed to hope he has victory. I'm supposed to hope, but I cannot look at him. I've got to look at who's inside of him. And that is God's vision. There are people in your life that you might have thought through when I said, do you have hope for these people? Now, again, I'm not so much right now talking about the world. They don't have Christ in them, but I'm talking about the people here, the people that you know are saved. What we've got to do is not look at them by name. What we've got to look at Jesus by name. What is that individual's hope? Who is that person's hope? It's Jesus Christ. That's the vision that we've got to understand. And as you look at people, okay, and you're all going to be scared to go out today because you're going to, who's looking at me? But as we live amongst each other, we've got to recognize Christ in that person and what God is trying to do, and that's going to help us. God's vision, Christ in them, the hope of glory. Hope is choosing to believe in the goodness of Christ for the lives of his people. What's the potential, everybody, what's the potential of me living my life right without Christ? What's the potential? Nothing. Is it possible for me to please God without Christ? No way. There's no way that we can do it. Is there any way for any of us to do that here today? There's no way. Why? Because Christ is our hope. He's the hope of glory, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no ability that anybody has without the person of Christ. None. No ability at all. And so hope that we look at in 1 Corinthians 13 is not hoping in that person themselves. I mean, there is no hope. I'm sorry, there is no hope in that individual. They will not. If you hope, maybe you have a secret hope for your pastor. I hope that he learns this. Can I just tell you, there is no hope that I will without Christ living himself in me. I hope that you're following this. There's no hope in me doing it. So when we look at other people, the hope is not in that person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ living in them. And that will change your perspective on the situation at hand. We've got to be careful at looking at the individual because there is no hope there. Will they ever get right? Will they ever do what God wants them to do? Will they ever get victory? Now, we understand that they're going to have to concede to Christ. Christ does not force us to do anything. But I will tell you, it's the only possibility, though. It's the only potential. There is no hope aside from Christ. He's got to do the work. God loves other people, doesn't he? God loves every single person. You know a verse in the Bible. It's the most popular verse in all of the scriptures. It's in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that says what? For God so loved who? The world. Who's that? Who's the world? Who is the world? Everyone, right? Is there any person excluded? The most wicked terrorist. The most wicked person in the darkest tribes of the jungle, God loves. Do you know that? Why do we say that? You need to understand it, because sometimes when we're looking at people and we don't have the hope, and yet in 1 Corinthians 13 we're learning that real love and charity requires hope. We say, well, I can't love them because I don't have any hope in them. We've got to understand something, that God loves that person. See, we're joining God in his effort here. We are joining God in his vision. God loves every single person, no matter what they do. Are you thankful for that? You ought to be, because you're one of them bad people. I know you like to think that, well, I'm actually a pretty good person compared to, but God says otherwise in the Word of God. God says that you are a worm. God says that you're a wicked wretch. God says that you deserve nothing but hellfire and brimstone. One of the problems that we have as Christians in America in 2023 is that we think that we're better than a lot of people. But my friend, God does not love me any more than he does at the whoever it was that decided a month and a half ago, or whatever it was, to go in and start doing the horrific things in Israel. I want to tell you something. God loves that. Whoever, if there could have been one individual, Satan. I'm not talking about Satan here, but I'm talking about human beings. God, whoever it is, God loves that person just as much as he loves me. Isn't that kind of hard to fathom? Of course, I'm making myself look like something good. You. God loves everyone. God loves everyone on the face of the earth. It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter their action. God loves everyone. What we're doing is we're joining God in his vision. God loves everyone, and God is good to everyone. God has his best for everyone. God wants to do his work in everyone's life. Hope is choosing to believe in the goodness of Christ for the lives of his people. It's not the individual, it's the person, it's Christ. And biblical faith rests on the trustworthiness of God to keep his promises. The foundation for hope in people is not the person, it's God and his promises. It's God and his love, it's God and his care. That's our foundation. The biblical view of hope is thus significantly different from that found in Greek philosophy. The Greeks recognized that human beings expressed hope by nature, by what was on the outside, by what was seen. However, this kind of hope reflects both good and bad experiences. The future was thus a projection of one's own subjection, possibilities. Biblical hope avoids this subjectivity by being founded on something that provides a sufficient basis for confidence in its fulfillment, God and his redemptive acts as they culminate in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, what did that all say? The fact of the matter is, all of the world focuses love and hope on the outside. The Christian foundation of love and hope is founded on the inside, which, if Christ is there, there's the hope. The hope is in the person and work and saving effort of Jesus Christ. We discover God's vision and we desire God's vision. Now, that's God's vision, is God loves everyone. He wants to do a perfect work in people's lives. We've got to desire that same vision. The sense of the word hope here is to desire. When you study the word hope, there's an element of desire. You know, when you hope for something, there's desire, right? I don't hope to go home and eat, I don't know what I can make up, something, you know, that I don't like, okay? I don't
personally, I don't go home and eat liver and onions. Some of you are die for it, you know, that's not mine. I don't hope for it, okay? I don't desire it. There might be some other things that I desire, that I long for, that I want. The word hope has to do with desire. When God has a vision, love is going to hope in it, and it's going to desire it. There's going to be desire. What's the reality? It's driven by hope. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4, this is a verse that you should have memorized that says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As we delight ourselves in God, he is going to give us certain things that we love. Folks, can I tell you, when you desire yourself in the things of the Lord, you're going to desire the things that he desires. And who does he desire? People. Christ in people, which is his hope of glory. It's time that we join Christ and join God in his vision. He loves people. He wants people. He's going to move people. We've got to stop looking at the outside, start putting our hope in the person of Jesus Christ, and desire that. What I'm saying at ground level is this: we need to be desiring hope in people's lives. I do hope that this man right here will grow in the things of the Lord. I hope that he'll have devotions this week and he'll learn some things. And I hope that lady right back there, I've got hope in them. It's not in that person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, because that's what God wants, and therefore I want it as well. That's love. Love is joining God in his desire for people, in his delight for people. There's not a person in this room who God does not love. There's not a person on the face of the earth that God does not love. And it's time we join God in his desire to seek those people. That's what love is, and that's what hope is. We have written a lot of people off in our world because we don't love them when we don't have hope. It's time that we jump on God's wagon and not try to get God on ours. It's almost as if you say, God, how long are you going to wait until you curse these people? How long are you going to wait to crush them? Can I tell you something? God loves those people, and he desires that they come to him and get saved. But we as Christians, we live our lives hoping that they're destroyed, and I hope that they die, and I hope that they do this, and I hope, folks, that's not joining God in his love. Hope is going to recognize God's vision, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even the most wicked terrorists in the face of the earth out there today, God's desire is that they would come to him, and it's our job to start joining God in his vision. And honestly, the point this morning is not to talk about the terrorist. The point this morning is to talk about the people that are right here in this room worshiping with you today. Because some of the most people that are most at odds are sitting in congregations like this morning. People struggle with other Christians and they don't like them. Why? Because their focus is on the shell and their focus is not on the person of Jesus Christ. The potential that's inside, the hope of Christ in you. That's what it is. You see, I might struggle with one of you. You might struggle with another person. The point is, you got to start recognizing who's inside. Jesus, I'm going to join you with this person because I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to love them. And we're going to team up together and we're going to see this person. We're expecting this person. We are looking for this person with joy. And we are expecting God, we're expecting you to do some amazing things in this person's life. I want to tell you, that's love. That's love. Love is not being opposed to them. Love is not saying that they're never going to get it. Love is not giving up. No, love is going to join Jesus Christ and join him and say, listen, you are in this person. I am joining, and we're going to see this come to truth. We're going to see an end to this. This is going to happen. There's an expectation. We've got to begin to desire God's vision. As we delight in the Lord and the things of the Lord, it will help us to desire what he desires in these people's lives. And he desires and delights other people and their victory in life. Hope is understanding and recognizing that other person as someone that God has invested in. Do you know that God has invested himself in every other believer here?
You know what the word invest means? It means he's put something into them. God never invests in anything bad. Now, we're bad, but he invests. He changes it because he brings the potential to turn it to good. My friend, it doesn't matter who's on your heart, who's on your mind this morning. Can I tell you that God has invested himself in them, and we must turn and invest ourselves into them as well. That's what hope is, and that's what love is. It's joining God in his vision. Joining God's vision. If God has invested in this individual, then I should invest in them also. That means I ought to start investing time of prayer. We're getting practical here. It's time to invest in prayer. You say, that pastor, that person doesn't have any hope. They will never get right. It's time to join God in his love. It's time to join God in his investment. And it's time for ourselves to invest in what he's invested in. It's time to put our prayer where he's putting his prayer in. It's time that we start putting our encouragement in those that he's encouraged in. You say, God's not encouraged in her. God's not encouraged in him. My friend, I want to tell you, he is. He delights in every Christian on the face of the earth. He delights. And if God delights, we also need to delight. We need to start loving. We need to start hoping. Prayer. Encouragement. We need to start encouraging other people. We're joining God in his work. Hope in them. Christ in them. It's joining God. You see, we are all too associated with the person, which we have already established is going to find themselves defeated because there's no potential with any of us. And don't for a moment think that you're any better than that other person. Don't for a moment think that you're better because you've made some better choices. I tell you what, the only reason why you're not where they're at is because of the grace of God and Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only reason why you're not there. So we start to see God's vision and we start to delight in God's vision and get excited about it. We join in God's vision. And now if Christ is going to pray, we ought to be praying. By the way, do you know that the Holy Spirit in Christ prays for us always? Always. That means we ought to be joining them in prayer for them. God always is trying to encourage himself in these people's lives. Guess what we ought to join in? Encouraging these people instead of discouraging them and getting, you know, being opposed to them and defeating them. No, that's not hope. Hope is joining Christ in them. It's time that we hope. And the hope is not in the person, though. It's joining God in his vision, prayer, encouragement. Folks, I want to tell you something. The people that are around you that have Christ in them, we've got to be praying for them. We've got to be encouraging them. We've got to be helping them. Help them get over their struggles. Help them do what we can to help and be a blessing to them. Disciple them and teach them what is right and how they need to move forward. And we can go on and how we can join God in his vision. Hope is faithful and focus, and that was the longest point, okay? Without the confidence in the focus, the faithfulness to that focus, there's no hope. Now, the other ones come natural. The biggest thing that you can get today is recognizing Christ in them, the hope of glory, and joining in that delight. A new perspective towards that person. Towards love. Love hopeth all things. It's recognizing God's vision. But next we see the hope is faithful and waiting. Hope is faithful and waiting. Things don't come automatically and immediately. There's a time of waiting. Waiting with patience. Love is trusting God that he's going to do his work in that person's life that will be for their good and his glory. Hope is waiting on God and will be patient through the process. Are you patient? Hope is patient.
Patient doesn't stop. Patient doesn't give up. It continues to hope. It continues to forgive. It continues to go.
Waiting with patience. And it's waiting with trust. Love is taking my hands off of the matter directly. Of course, unless God specifically asks me to do something. And trusting and hoping that God, as God does his work, the person will respond to him in obedience. That's hope.
That's hope. Hope is waiting.
Waiting with patience. Waiting with trust. Thirdly, I told you they were faster. Thirdly, hope is faithful in confidence.
Hope is faithful in focus.
Hope is faithful in waiting. Hope is faithful in confidence. We saw that word to wait for expected salvation with joy and full confidence. There's a confidence that God is going to do his work. Can I tell you, my friends, based upon his promises, God will do his work in that person's life. He's going to. Hope is faithful in confidence. That's never giving up. Never giving up positionally. As long, listen to this, as long as God's grace is operative, listen to this, as long as God's grace is operative,
is it? Is God's grace operative today? And this is not my original words.
As long as God's grace is operative, human failure is never final. We're going back to the focus.
Remember, if it's in a person, then it is final. But that's not the focus. The focus is God. Is God's grace sufficient today as it was back yesterday? What's the answer? Yes. Guess what? Then there is potential for victory today or tomorrow as you wait. Because who's the hope in? It's in Christ. It's in Christ.
Hope is faithful in focus. Hope is faithful in waiting. Hope is faithful in confidence. Positionally, confidence in God. Practically, love helps give others a hope and desire for future victory and success. Do you realize that we need to be there to show that person hope?
You can do it. Not because of you, but because of the person that's living inside of you.
You know, one of the worst things that a parent can do to his children is tell him, you know, I've heard this very practically. You tell a boy who's been naughty, he's a naughty boy, and he loses hope. But you tell a naughty boy who's been naughty that there's great potential for him to do right, there's hope. Can I tell you that we don't give enough confidence to people who have done wrong? Again, you say, but I don't want to make them feel like they're doing it. It's not them, it's Christ. My confidence isn't in that person. No way. But my confidence is in Jesus Christ, who's going to do his work. That's where our confidence needs to be. Practically, we continue to, as we mentioned, pray. We continue to encourage. We continue to help. We continue to be positive. We continue to expect that in certain time, God is going to do his work. But the opposite is also true. We give up on people. If there's no potential, they have a tendency to fall greater. Listen to this. When we will not love people with hope, that they will fall off the other side even faster.
Again, you tell that naughty boy he's naughty, and he will then live up to his name. I am a naughty boy. Why? Because there's nothing to look forward to, right? There's no potential. I have been declared a waste. One of the worst things a father can do is tell his son that he's no good. You good for nothing? I tell you what, say that to a person, you have doomed them to destruction.
Some years ago, a hydroelectric dam was to be built across a valley in New England. The people in a small town in the valley were to be relocated because the town itself would be submerged when the dam was finished. During the time between the decision to build the dam and its completion, the buildings in the town, which previously were kept up nicely, fell into despair. Instead of being a pretty little town, it became an eyesore. Why did this happen? The answer is simple. As one of the residents said, where there is no faith in the future, there is no work in the present. If we're not there to give people hope, there will be none. It's time that we put our confidence in the person of Jesus Christ to do his work. We never give up positively, practically, and always showing optimism. We need to be optimistic about people, folks. And that's something that we've got to guard ourselves. You know, you say that person has let me down 155 times. And he might do another 155. But folks, we need to be optimistic about what God is going to do. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, successor of Sigmund Freud at Vienna, argued that the loss of hope and courage can have a deadly effect on a man. As a result of his experience in a Nazi concentration camp, Frankl contended that when a man no longer possesses a motive for living, no future to look toward, he curls up in a corner and dies. Any attempt to restore a man's inner strength in camp, he wrote, had first to succeed in showing him some future goal. We've got to show them deliverance. So here we see that when there is no hope, desire, because of no goal to look forward to, the subject dies. Love will supply that hope, desire, goal for that person, and will never give up on that hope. It's time that we start casting vision of God's love and salvation in these people's lives. It's all wrapped up in the word hope. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. A tree of life. Hope. Ever trusting in God's plan in that individual's life. And number four, lastly, hope is faithful in sharing. Hope is faithful in sharing. Folks, we live in a world with unbelievers that are without this hope, that are lost and dying and on their way to hell. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, they had no hope. They felt they had no hope. But I'll tell you what, hope was around the corner, coming to save them. But the world is, in a sense, living in a situation of no hope. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Folks, God has given hope in you. He's placed himself in you. And it's time to share that with people who have no hope. If you're here this morning, I trust that you are hoping in an eternal salvation that Jesus Christ offered a few thousand years ago on the cross when he did the work to earn your salvation. And bring himself to live inside every one of you that would be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Love refuses to take failure as final. The rope of love's hope has no end. As long as there is life, love does not lose hope. When our hope becomes weak, we know our love has become weak. Love hopes. And aren't you thankful that God has not given up his hope for you? He hasn't because of his precious Son, Jesus Christ, living inside of you. My friend, if we're going to love, if we're going to demonstrate God to the people around us and to our world, we need to be people that have hope. Not so much in the person, but in the person with the power to change them. Father, would you help us to be people that hope all things. Hope all things. Lord, it's difficult. It's tough. This love that you're writing about in 1 Corinthians 13 is not easy. Our tendency is to give up and move on. God, help us to hope all things. Thank you for hoping in us through Jesus Christ. God, thank you. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness never to give up, but to continue on. To continue on trying to bring us to God. Lord, in one day we are going to be with him, and it will be a tremendous day. God, thank you for the hope that you have in us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. 109 is that wonderful song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, as you celebrate.